Hey guys, I only post Weekend Rewind for every week. Every week for Weekend Rewind that I recorded on Live It Up on Byte. So we have Meghan Markle and Prince Harry news that I don't talk about because it feels lots of hurts for Meghan Markle's father, Samantha Markle, and Prince Harry's speech at night. So, news media for international groups don't seem to be very, very carefully for truths about stepping down as senior royals on social media. And will no longer use HRH titles, but not arms, and renovated their hometown, Frogmore Cottage, after moving to Vancouver Island, North Saanich in Canada, where Victoria International Airport seems to be true. Yeah. Seems to be true for the Royals coming to Vancouver Island. And maybe I record on Byte videos for posting good views, loops, and followers, because I really, really love it. And yesterday, I went to a secret hall. Maybe just a legit YouTubers with YouTuber pranks at the hallways or the secret hallways. And it still feels legit that so many YouTubers have fun playing, but not water, legit piano, and just playing with the Sesame Street Muppets from PBS Kids. And very, very happy for Sesame Street PBS Kids Muppets. Yeah, like Elmo the Monster. Really, really love it for these obstacles. We don't want to see Filipino overseas workers doing much time, but instead, American celebrities who look different, mixed heritage, are very, very happy. So, I need to take some time to record the 9th episode of Live It Up on Byte, so be sure it. Thank you. Bye. Hey guys, this is Arsenas. Good morning, everyone. So I react to for my Byte apps updates, and there is no updates for our Byte apps lately today because I'll get exams for not or not getting exams because I need to go to the field trip with my classmates on Tuesday, Wednesday, and I only worked for 3 days and no school for 4 days on the weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I need to work for making changes for second semester like media design, drama, and that's what I like to see it. Really, really happy about that. So, this is really happy to me for my news. On Friday, Disney announced that Fox will change the name into 20th Century Studios and Searchlight Pictures. The mouse has officially killed the fox. In a move at once unsurprising and highly symbiotic, the Walt Disney Company is dropping the Fox brand from the 21st Century Fox assets it acquired last March. Variety has learned the 20th Century Fox film studio will become 20th Century Studios, and Fox Searchlight Pictures will become simply Searchlight Pictures. On the TV side, however, no final decisions have been made about adjusting the monikers of production units 20th Century Fox Television and 21 Television Studios. Discussions about a possible name change are underway, but no consensus has emerged, according to a source close to the situation. Disney has already started the process to phase out the Fox name. Email addresses have changed for Searchlight staffers, with the Fox.com address replaced with a SearchlightPictures.com address. On the posters for Searchlight, next film downhill with Julia Louis Dreyfus and Will Ferrell, the credits begin with Searchlight Pictures Presents. The film will be the first Searchlight release to be debuted with a new logo. Call of the Wild adult coming film will be released under the 20th Century banner. Those logos won't dramatically alter, just update. The most notable change is the word Fox has been removed from the logo marks. Otherwise, the signature elements, Swirling King, Monument, Triumph, Fanfare, will remain the same. In Cyrus Carolise, the change as well is inevitable. DC's $71 billion acquisition of 21st Century Fox last March included the 20th Century Fox film and TV studios, but not the Fox Broadcast Network or Fox News, which remained a part of Fox Corp under CEO Lachlan Murdoch. That automatically injected a level of brand confusion at odds with the highly differentiated divisions within Disney ranks, and Fox Corp has no reason to change its name. The original 20th Century Fox was formed in a merger between, in 1935 between 20th Century Pictures and Fox Films Corporation. The logo's Art Deco Searchlight logo for a Van Helsing theme song became an iconic Hollywood brand, and the studio released some of the most beloved and successful movies in Hollywood history, including Avatar, Titanic, Home Alone, Die Hard, Alien, Star Wars, A New Hope, and Planet of the Apes. Rupert Murdoch's new corp bought 20th Century Fox in the mid-1980s, along with a suit of American television studios, stations, which allowed Murdoch to create Fox TV Network. Fox TV's programming itself a part of a slate of irreverent and provocative shows that deliberately pushed the envelope of what was possible on broadcast television. Murdoch further expanded the Fox brand with the 1996 launch of Fox News, which established a reputation for conservative partisanship. By the time of Disney's acquisition, Fox News has also weathered multiple sexual misconduct scandals. All of it added up to specific associations with the word Fox in the media landscape that proved to be anathema to Disney's scrupulously maintained family-friendly brand. As one of insider posts, I think the Fox name means Murdoch, and that is toxic. So, I'm really happy to change his name from Fox to remove from 20th Century Studios and Searchlight Pictures. On social media, it gained success. It gained success within 20th Century Fox Studios and Searchlight Pictures by Disney. When I wanted to release Topolino 3348 this week, it's time to react Topolino 3347, Coding and Duckburg. Second story dedicated to coding, once again created by Alessandro Sisti and the Grizzly Carpian Gianpaolo Soldati. In this case, coding is applied to dispositive protection. Those who do it themselves save. This is an idea of a Scrooge, not only in life, but also in the condition world we are. the papa or police tycoon whose favor for money from a fantasy lardo made the like other paper dollars by Stefano Sanchi is attached to a number of Mickey Mouse on newsstands, decides to program himself with the Fox's anti-theft system using coding, which he introduced a couple of weeks ago on the occasion of the first story of the series. In this case, CC focused on two essential elements in programming. In general, conditional programming, which in the case of Scrooge codes, matches in with instruction if and otherwise, and bugs. That is a situation in which the program does not perform a shoddy expected task. In the case of Scrooge, of course, it is to rent or allow a stranger's access to the deposit. The story is inherently simplistic, however amusing having to introduce the two previous concepts. Let's see, however, example of scratch code for conditional programming with the if and then. The easiest way is to so show you the code for the ping pong game created with the MIDS software. The instruction about the program that if the ball touches the bar, then the ball must split its direction 1/8, while the score must update by increasing by 1. In the next step, we also add the counts on the lives. In this case, cycle if then decreases the number of lives by 1 if the ball ends up below the bar. At this point, to prevent the game from continuing indefinitely even counting negative lives, you must insert a clock block containing the program stop in the event that the lives reach 0. All this then put into a forever cycle that allows you to execute the instruction. We have program without having to run the program every time. In this case, we could debug creep in. Each point to the program can be subject to an error. For example, the direction of the ball after hitting a ball, or forgetting to stop the program when the player has no more lives available. Obviously, to avoid the bugs as much as possible, all possible situations must be kept in mind. This means that we all are facing the malfunction of our program. We are forced to think all the ways to solve it, thus stimulating our creativity. And that's why DuckTales fans love coding. For a third season and season, maybe four, for DuckTales fans. And the newest story of coding is actually good in work for Topolino of Doug, because the... Maybe.
I'm not disappointed.
Maybe not. I'm sorry, that was the case for speaking about the library closes. So the fourth story of Young Indiana Tales will release this week. And much for the time, it might think that the double blocks of 2 days will have block A and C on Tuesday and block B and D on Wednesday. So peace so much with these two blocks on 2 days before no schools on 4 days, because semester two will begin by the end of January. When it comes to the younger versions of cartoon characters, for this trending since the 80s, it really seems that Camp Coral, Muppet Babies, Total Dramarama, Young Donald Duck, / Paperino Papalotto, and many more have tweets, Instagrams on social media, and that was talking about on social media when it's still there to see it. When it's there to see it. So it might be hard to release the new series for the upcoming streaming service on Hulu, Netflix, and other cable channels that has to be, whether or not it has to be real for the service, like Instagram and Twitter. Yeah, I really like that for the younger versions. Camp Girl have must tweeted popularity of Funko toys figures. And I really like it. This was really fun to see it. Wow, this is really fun to support the younger versions of cartoon characters. Seeing this as a true Beatles show. Exciting thing, what is trending? When it feels happy about it. Make others feel happy. Mine smells very, very good for my tweets about the younger versions. You won't feel tired of it. Wow, so much Twitters have really surfaced, like this one. Funko SpongeBob, that I really feels. Funko SpongeBob. So many to choose from. I'll read the article of Madagascar, A Little Wild, on Hulu. Read this article on Hulu. Read this new article on Hulu. Read this article on Hulu. I need to see it. Hulu orders a kid series, Madagascar, a Little Wild. I cannot read it because it's so much happy about it. Within the Madagascar franchise, Madagascar Little Wild features the level foursome Alex the Lion, Marty the Zebra, Melman the Giraffe, and Gloria the Hippo, capturing the iconic personalities of each of the four dynamos. Madagascar Little Wild showcases the team as kids residing in their rescue habitat at the Central Park Zoo. They might be small, but like everybody who lands in New York City, these little guys have big dreams in Madagascar a little while and will follow all of their adventures. The series is executive produced by Johanna Stein. So, Rescue Habitat. Like Penguins in Madagascar. Most of the reactions of this series are really shocked. Madagascar will be making a return as The Little Wild, an animated series by DreamWorks for a Peacock streaming service. Yeah, the whole make a baby spin-off craze for a series if it's definitely back in full force. DreamWorks just announced a new Madagascar series for the streaming service Peacock A Little Wild. I'm curious to see what DreamWorks does with this show since it looks like another cartoon where the characters are babies, but it's nice to see more Madagascar. This doesn't make much sense. NBCU Peacocks just announced these three Dream Network DreamWorks series yesterday. Yet today, Hulu announced them as new original series. I guess they could stream on both. Why? And actually shows the third Madagascar show will be a spin-off. Well, at least my hope was half right. Having Alex, Marty, and Gloria and Melman from the movies being the main characters again. Wow. I like these tweets from Madagascar a Little Wild. Those are just examples of the tweets. And I really like it. See them. I cannot record Baby Yoda's meeting with George Lucas during the second season of The Mandalorian, but Pokemon's latest episode shares big Ho-Oh flashback. Pokemon's latest anime has opened up its world beyond just the new Galar region, introducing Pokemon Sword and Shield. And this has meant that Ash and new Hero Go are traveling to various regions of the franchise. Introduced thus far after visiting the Hoenn and Sinnoh regions, the latest episode of the series finally brings Ash back to the Johto region. After two of them spot reports of a Ho-Oh sightings in the area. When they arrive in the region and an old man tells them Ho-Oh isn't real, Ash asserts that Ho-Oh is indeed a real legendary. As fans of the anime know, Ash's very first legendary Pokemon sighting came with the very first episode of the series. Although we didn't know the name of this bird quite yet, seeing this Pokemon was just a spark of Ash and Pikachu indeed to inspire them to keep going on the journey after the tumultuous start. But the latest episode of the series goes the extra mile and features a cool recreation of the very scene as Ash reminisces about the time he saw Ho-Oh. Although it's also recreated in Pokemon I Choose You movie reboot, there's something a bit extra special about it being brought up again in the official anime canon. This latest anime series has been a bit different than the others, as it seems to more highlight the past of the anime than others. One of the first episodes, Ash's, featured in union with Lugia, that and tease that Lugia remembered him from the Pokemon, the movie 2000. So the Johto region is playing much more of a role in tying the current anime to the past than even Kanto is. In fact, another Johto legendary might be showing up soon in the next anime film on the way to Japan this summer. Pokemon the movie Coco. The first teaser trailer for the third Panther film in the franchise features a shot of a shrine that looks especially like the shrine Celebi recited during Pokemon Forever Celebi for Voice of the Forest. Happy to see Ho again. Hoping for more legendary appearance in the future. Well, it's very happy to see the newest episode of Episode 9, the flashback of Ashes and Pikachu on Tokyo TV Tokyo. For newest Japanese fans that I'm really excited on social media. Thank you for Mary. Thank you for exciting for the Avengers episode on Pokemon Season 23rd. And finally, before Gateway publishing for the 9th episode on Ensure, the final signers the former employees swap memories by Marla Bia. Staffers reminisce at last two stores shut down in Ottawa and Etobicoke. Sellers is pulling the plug on its two stores in Ontario this month, but Richard Hall doesn't want it. He's rounded up a museum worth the Hall of Sellers memorabilia in his dining room, spilling into his kitchen. There's a flashy bread and buttons, bathrooms, keychains, and even a fire extinguisher from one of the Doom's department stores. His wife calls it hoarding. He calls it collecting. Hall spent 35 years employed by sellers working at 11 different stores. Today, he relies on his memorabilia to reminisce. Every segment of my life, I think back on what store I was in, he said. It's weird, but it's kind of a measurement of time. The last two sellers' location in Etobicoke, Ontario and Ottawa will close on January 26, according to Hudson Bay Co., the retailer's parent company. Hall's memorabilia spans his entire dining room. He's got signed hockey sticks, limited edition bottles of Hudson's Bay Co. scotches, multiple copies of the same cellar flyers, all in mint condition, and this is after he purged the collection. Perhaps most prized possession is the gift he was given, a framed copy of a newspaper from 1945 just after the Second World War ended, containing an ad from the original settler's location in London. The page celebrates a glorious day in victory, while also being dominated by the lengthy spread in Adolf Hitler's mad career, complete with swastika imagery. This isn't about Hitler. This is about sellers. He assures I point that out to everyone that I show. I say, no, I'm not a Hitler fan. I'm a sellers fan. Hall started at sellers when he was 15, working his way up to general manager of marketing, where he ended his career in 2013. That's when most sellers were closing down or converting to now defunct Canadian target locations. He met his wife. She was working at an art department store, Towers, when sellers took it over. I was asked to take as assistant manager from Towers under my wing, and so I did, and we've been married 28 years, he said. I took the instructions literally. Maria Hall remembers how Richard relentlessly tried to woo her. She worked at store number 64. So he sent her 64 balloons, 64 roses, and then a limo to the store. Isn't that crazy? The store was like, what is going on, Maria? Like, what is going on with this guy, she recalled. Seller store, she said, started many relationships. When Target came in, Richard and Maria Hall both lost their jobs. Perhaps unsurprisingly, Richard kept the letters employees received when sellers made the announcement that the U.S. retailer was taking over. Target spent about $1 billion acquiring leases for 189 sellers locations across Canada in 2011. Though the move north border turned out to be a disaster, the last Canadian Target store closed its doors in 2019 and the company lost billions. Our lives are much better and it was a good thing, Hall said of losing his job. It was a catalyst to good do something different after being in the same company for so long. A handful of seller stores remain open, ultimately outlasting Target. That includes the Etobicoke location in Toronto's northwest end and has seen hours-long lineups over the past few weeks with shoppers snaking around stores hungry for sales. The final two locations are a bit different than other traditional sellers that Canadians may remember, Hall said. They instead liquidated the base leftovers inventory. But closing at the end of the month still means the seller's name will be officially gone. I think us employees that have worked there can actually understand that, because it's hard to articulate how important it was to people, he said. Many people are active on a Facebook group called If You Ever Work for Sellers, where store and corporate employees from the around the country references. News of the last two closings has blurred off memories. The group was started in 2013 by Brenda Scott, who worked at the sales store in Huntsville in Ontario's Muskoka region. She wanted the way to stay in touch with the colleagues at stores before closing, said the group has built and employed more than 4,000 employees have joined her group since. You work for sellers, it's like working for a family, she said. Scott traveled down to the Etobicoke location earlier this month, wanting to say goodbye to the chain. She watched as crowd line up in front of the store, waiting to get before it ever opened. She said it made her feel upset and longing for a Canadian company to shop at. I'm pretty sure Walter is looking down, watching my body, and saying, this isn't necessary, she said. It's the end of era. It really is. Being the end of era makes a lot of people who worked there sad, so sellers might end on January 26, 2020, and it's the last store to close. So, I publish today, right now. So, goodbye. Exams will be tomorrow.